The Champions League night belonged to teams playing their first ever knockout stage matches. The impressive Leipzig leave London with the lead against last year's beaten finalists.
Timo Werner from the spot. It's a perfect penalty low into the corner. Caught it wonderfully well. Werner scores. Leipzig ahead just before the hour. It's the first major moment of this round of 16 tie. And it's the new boys at this stage who celebrate.
Meanwhile, Valencia were no match for the marauding Atalanta attack.
Hattabor is in. It's 4-0. A second goal for Hans Hattabor. They are storming towards the quarterfinals of the UEFA Champions League. It is a night to remember. Historic from Atalanta. They lead by 4-0.
Valencia got a goal back before full time, but still face a huge task to turn around the tie at the Mestalla in 3 weeks' time. We'll analyse the night's action and bring you reaction from key players and head coaches right here on Matchday Live and the official Champions League podcast. Welcome along. We're going to dissect all of the first leg action from the second night of the UEFA Champions League round of 16. With me, Chris Parrott, are our two match commentators, Phil Blacker and Mike Sewell. Probably your hardest task of the evening, gents, because I want your three-word match reports, please. Phil first, after Tottenham 0, RB Leipzig 1.
Well, I was going to go with far from finished, but after last season's experience, I think that could apply to any tie in the knockout stage. So I'll go with deserved away win.
Very nice. Mike, follow that one up, please. Atalanta 4, Valencia 1.
Well, this one comes from the Mark Scott School of Wordplay. Atacanta.
Oh, I think you might have beaten him. Last night, Mark Scott had Ha-Ha-Land after
Ha-La-Land, wasn't it?
Ha-La-Land. Sorry, I've done him a disservice. Yeah. Mine was awful. That's good job I don't have to ask myself for my three-word report. Not bad, Mike. Much more from both of you in a moment. The European football expert, Andy Brassel, is also with us. Your highlight of the evening, two ties between sides who aren't regulars at this stage, and they didn't disappoint.
No, they didn't. And I think when you look at the two debutants at this stage in Leipzig and Atalanta, we talked, didn't we, Chris, before kickoff about how both of these sides have a window to make themselves regular presences in the UEFA Champions League and regular presences in this stage. And this was more fuel to the bonfire, I think.
Certainly was. Well, let's start our look at Wednesday's matches with the game at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in North London. Spurs against Leipzig, and your commentator is Phil Blacker.
Timo Werner taking over, cutting in from the left into a central position. Dinks it forward, good run, and a penalty kick given for the challenge. The referee right on the spot has pointed to the spot for that challenge by Ben Davis in the box on Konrad Leimer. Yellow card is out, penalty Leipzig. Timo Werner from the spot, and Leipzig lead. It's a perfect penalty low into the corner. Caught it wonderfully well. Werner scores. It's the first major moment of this round of 16 tie, and it's the new boys at this stage who celebrate. Bergwijn unable really to bring that bouncing ball under control, but Spurs still have it. Davis with a cross in towards Lucas Moura. Oh, and it came through for him. He's lifted his header just over the crossbar, though. Maybe expecting the defender in front of him to get the touch. He didn't, and Lucas Moura couldn't quite capitalise. Close for Spurs, but not quite close enough.
Tottenham were the comeback kids in last season's Champions League, and they will have to do the same thing again in the last 16, joined by Phil and Andy Brassel now. I think over the course of the 90 minutes, difficult to argue that Leipzig didn't deserve to at least be 1-0 up.
I think the scoreline was probably about fair. They could have had another. As you kind of alluded to, Tottenham had some late pressure. For me, it came a little bit too late, and it was all rather snatched, and there wasn't a lot of clinical edge to it. You never really sensed that equaliser was coming, despite the fact that a couple of opportunities did materialise. Leipzig will still reflect on missed openings in the first half in particular, but I think they fully deserve the victory. The only question mark is, did they deserve to win by more? Will it cost them that they didn't? We've already seen, you know, what Tottenham did last season from behind. I think Hugo Lloris, speaking after the game, has already raised that point. He said, let's go and do it again. This tie is far from finished. Tottenham showed to an extent late in the game what they're capable of doing as an attacking threat. But without Harry Kane, without Son, I do feel they were missing that clinical edge. Leipzig were starting to tire. They're not used to this sort of situation. They were getting a taste of it towards the end of this first leg with the pressure that Spurs are applying. I think there's only more of that to come in the second leg. How they handle that in front of their own fans will be fascinating. But in terms of the first leg, I think it's test passed with flying colours, really. It was a really mature performance. You wouldn't have known that it was their debut at this stage.
Absolutely. You mentioned Hugo Lloris. He was named the official UEFA Champions League man of the match. And we can hear from him now. He doesn't think this tie is over at all.
Listen, I want to stay positive, especially after what we've seen the last 20 minutes. Obviously, if we had started the game in the same way we finished, probably the score will be different. But listen, there is a second leg. We still have our chance. Obviously, it's not the best result that we could get, but we have to deal with that and keep our chin up because we're still alive.
We'll stay with Tottenham for now, Andy Brassel. They seemed to improve, particularly once Tanguy Ndombele and Eric Lamela came on after 64 minutes. I think they may have played themselves into Jose Mourinho's thoughts for the second leg.
I think Ndombele certainly did, Chris. I think the way he opened up space in midfield, the way he could inject a little bit of pace and change of pace into that midfield was vital in a game like this, in which Leipzig, especially in the first half, they showed all the energy. They showed all the enterprise. And still in the second half, the best bits of creative football were theirs. I mean, you know, we'll look back on moments that could be influential going further in the tie, and of course Hugo Lloris getting the man of the match there. I suspect a large part of that was that save he made from Patrick Schick. Yep. And the dummy from Timo Werner to set that up was absolutely fantastic. I thought Leipzig played very, very intelligently, and Spurs didn't have quite the same wit to their play. And I think for a team that got into the final last year, that's probably the most disappointing aspect for their supporters. We know they've got lots of injuries. They've still got greater resources than RB Leipzig, and they've still got a better squad on paper than Leipzig.
For all of Leipzig's impressive play, will the main regret for Spurs be that the only goal was a penalty and probably an avoidable penalty to give away from Tottenham's perspective?
I think it was. It was an awkward one for Ben Davies. He found himself in a difficult situation. But you sensed, I think, as the game went on, something like that was never too far away. There wasn't a great degree of authority exuded by the Tottenham defence throughout the game. A lot of that down to some of the slick football that Leipzig were playing. But I do think mentally that might have had a little bit of an effect. I also think it could have been an issue at the other end. But Tottenham didn't really ask enough questions with enough quality to find out. Whereas the Spurs defence did come under more pressure. So although, yes, it was an isolated incident and it was a penalty, I think it was almost an accumulation of what had gone before building up to that moment. I certainly think it contributed.
Peter Gulacsi at the other end made some big saves for Leipzig, a couple of free kicks. He's part of this story, isn't Andy Brassel? The club formed 11 years ago and now 90 minutes away from the quarterfinals of the Champions League. He joined when they were in the second tier in German football, and here he is on the biggest stage of them all with a very impressive performance.
Yeah, and he's different to the players around him. Young players with big futures who've been invested in. I thought Gulacsi was an interesting signing at the time because I think people looked at him and sort of tarred him with the brush of not being good enough to get in the Liverpool team. And then when he arrived, I don't think people expected him to last the whole first top flight season in 2016-17. And he's proved them wrong at every turn and proved to be one of the best goalkeepers in the Bundesliga. And I think tonight is a case in point. Large parts of that night, it didn't look as if Tottenham were going to be able to score. But he had to stand up and make a couple of important saves. You look at Bergwijn in the first half, and then you look at Lo Celso and that free kick in the second half. When he had to do something, he did it very, very well indeed. And I think to admit that sort of confidence is particularly important when you think about the amount of defensive injuries they've got. Upamecano suspended as well. No Willy Orban. And Ethan Ampadu came in and did an absolutely fantastic job as well. I mean, he gave everything. He could barely walk at the end, didn't he?
Yeah, but even then, he stopped Steven Bergwijn basically with the final act of the game. We talked a lot in the build-up, this young team who've been on a meteoric rise in Germany. Julian Nagelsmann, only 32 years of age, only formed 11 years ago as a football club. We sort of have to mention all of those things now, Phil, given you used the word mature, and it felt that way. Yeah, they came under pressure at the end, but lesser teams might have folded and might have let Tottenham back into the game and really back into the tie.
And let's not forget, as Andy was saying, they've come to Tottenham, to last year's finalists, and kept a clean sheet without their three first-choice centre-backs, which shows the strength in depth that they are building. But I think they will also take an awful lot from this performance in terms of where they can go in the future, because now, you know, they have come here and they have delivered this mature performance, proving not just to the people watching them at this stage for the first time, but to a point to themselves that they can do it. Yes, they thought they were capable. They now know they're capable, and I think in the second leg, and if they do go further in the competition, that's something that they're going to be able to draw on. It's something that Julian Nagelsmann has made no secret of. He and they are learning as they go along, particularly in this competition. They're still growing, they're still developing, and nights like this, performances like this, will only enhance that so much quicker, really.
They will hope to have some of those defenders back, and we're not privy to the Tottenham physios, but it's 3 weeks until the second legs. Do you think there's any chance of Son or even Harry Kane making a miraculous recovery?
I'd have to say it's highly unlikely. I mean, when Son was initially ruled out, I think the club said a number of weeks. So read into that what you will. Jose Mourinho, in the pre-match press conference before this first leg, said he doesn't expect to have him back this season. He wouldn't count on him again this season. So it's difficult to tell, isn't it? I would be very surprised to see either of them in the second leg.
Really, what Jose Mourinho needs to do is get more out of his existing resources. I know he said about how they're disadvantaged at the moment, but you know, this is February. Every team in the Champions League loses important players. We've just said that about Leipzig. We didn't even mention Ibrahima Konate. He's perhaps the best of those defenders being out and having to go to the last year's finalists and do that. I think there is a balance to be found with Tottenham. And I think if you go back to last year's semi-finals and look at that home loss to Ajax, which could have been a lot worse, and you could say tonight could have been a lot worse. I mean, if there's anything that offers hope, it's surely that.
Yeah, and Spurs did stay in the tie. I mean, 1-0, you know, only one away goal, if you like, and they're going to have to score in Germany, so that would cancel that out.
You had the feeling they knew that, though,
yes,
Chris.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, they didn't throw the kitchen sink at it when it was 1-0. Because if they lose the first leg 2-0, they're not coming back from that. At 1-0, I think there's a scope to do something, especially if you look at Leipzig's home games this season, especially in the first 3 months of the season. Very, very tentative at home. They can't play with the same sort of freedom on the counter that they do away from home. So I wonder how they'll cope with this pressure, which is a completely new situation to them. They're expected to go on and win this tie now, and they've never been there before.
Because we're talking in the second leg, one of the biggest games in Leipzig's history. I mean, I mentioned they're only formed in 2009, but to be at home with a lead, with the quarterfinals of the Champions League at stake, that is going to be a different test for Nagelsmann and his team.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And if you look at them in the group stages, it was their performances on the road that won it. You look at the 2-0 defeat at home to Lyon, where they gave away a couple of bad goals. They were 2-0 down to Benfica going into the 90th minute before those late goals on match day 5 got them qualification. So I think Spurs have something to work with here.
Yes, I've completely forgot about those two goals after the 90-minute mark. It's amazing that so much happens in a Champions League season that you forget instances like that, but it's one of the reasons they are here. And we're going to hear from Jose Mourinho very shortly. Do you think his take of the evening will be, because Spurs were almost looked like a different side in the last 20 minutes. Was that more because Spurs changed tactics or because Leipzig perhaps started to realise they had something to protect and sat back a bit?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of both. I think the context of the first leg played its part, and that was always going to be the case. Tottenham, as Andy says, they didn't completely take risks. They didn't throw everybody forward because they'd already been shown just how dangerous Leipzig were on the counter-attack, and the threat of conceding that second was a very real threat. But Leipzig, I think they were tiring, maybe physically and certainly mentally at that stage because they were so close to the result that they wanted. They haven't been down this path before. As I mentioned before, really, we saw a little taste of it in this first leg. They are going to have more of that situation in the second leg, and how they deal with it will decide whether they go through or not. I didn't see anything from this first leg to suggest they will have difficulties in dealing with it, but you just don't know until you're in the heat of the moment. Spurs at least have been down this path before. They know they can pull this sort of situation around, and they have the players to do it, even without injuries. If Kane and Sonner are missing, I still think there is the quality in that squad, particularly if they get the early goal. The fact that they conceded just the one, they're very much in the tie. The questions of Leipzig will be asked in 3 weeks' time, but so far I've seen nothing to suggest they don't have the answers.
Andy Brassel, before kickoff, we heard an interview that you did with a very happy smiley Dele Alli at the Tottenham training ground a couple of weeks ago. He didn't look so happy when he was substituted by Jose Mourinho just after the out mark.
No, he didn't, and I'm not surprised, because he's a big player who wants to be out there influencing big games. And, you know, in the point of the game where Tottenham really wanted to wrest it back in their favour, he wasn't able to influence it. So I think I understand that frustration. Jose Mourinho will understand that frustration and maybe hope it provokes him to a stronger performance in the second leg. But I think as well, there needs to be a plan for Dele Alli. It was all just a little bit vague. And you're looking at a player who likes to be involved all of the time. But the way Tottenham set up, it just allowed him to drift. He didn't really have the support around him. I did wonder, and we said it at the start of the second half, didn't we? Maybe to take control of the midfield, they need to bring Dele Alli further back. Because, you know, he just seemed caught between a midfield that didn't have enough of a foothold in the game and a centre forward in Lucas Moura, who just wasn't getting into it at all.
Yeah, I remember one ball over the top that Lucas Moura chased and almost got on the end of it. But he, given that he scored a hat-trick, of course, in the Champions League semi-final last season, he never quite got that opportunity either. If I look back to the free kicks, one which was tipped onto the post, Giovanni Lo Celso probably came the closest for Spurs to getting them back in. One goal, you sense, would have been a huge shift in this tie, given how Spurs had played for 60 minutes. If they could have equalised, that really would have been a massive confidence booster.
It would, but it does tell the story, I think, a little bit, doesn't it? That the best chances that you were referring to were free kicks from that sort of range. There weren't too much in open play. I think Lucas Moura is a very capable finisher, but he's not the sort of player that offers you that focal point up front.
Yeah.
Spurs, that's not a surprise to anybody. It's not his game, is it? But Spurs didn't find a way, really, to work around that and to play to his strengths.
Well, let's hear from Jose Mourinho now, speaking after Tottenham's 1-0 defeat at home to Leipzig.
By another side, you see how we are in this moment. You look to the other guys, they play with Schick, with Werner, with Nkunku. Nkunku is tired, get out, comes Forsberg, Schick is tired, come out, come Poulsen. And this is our situation. It's like to go to a fight with a gun without bullets. So we did what we could do. And I think if we score before them, the game would be different. You can tell me we had luck in some moments. I disagree. We had a great goalkeeper that made two magnificent saves, and that is not luck. That is an amazing goalkeeper. And we tried everything we could.
He's still box office, Jose Mourinho. He's still coming out with pearls. I like that one. We heard one about stairs and balconies before kickoff, and now we've just heard another one from Jose Mourinho, who was typically cryptic there, I think. Mystic.
Either way, I trust him to, if we go back to the earlier analogy, I trust him to come up with a stepladder for the second
He will certainly be one to listen to, and you will hear on UEFA Champions League Matchday Live before the second leg in 3 weeks' time. Let's move on to the other game on Wednesday evening, Atalanta against Valencia at San Siro, which was watched by Mike Sewell.
Forward as the cross comes in, and eventually it's turned in at the far post by Hans Hatterborg. 15 minutes played in Milan. Atalanta 1, Valencia 0. Pašalić across the penalty area to Ilicic, just outside the D. Ilicic shoots, and he beats Dominic into the far corner. Atalanta stretch their lead. The San Siro erupts again. Atalanta 2, Valencia 0. Atalanta down the left here, edge of the area. Shot coming in, and it's into the far corner. tied for Champions League. It is a night to remember. Historic from Atalanta. They lead by 4-0. Shot left footed into the far corner. And there's hope from Denis Cheryshev, the substitute. He's only been on the pitch a couple of minutes, but he's fired in an away goal for Valencia. Atalanta 4-1.
As you heard there, one of the most entertaining matches of the season in the Champions League. 5 goals, and Mike Sewell, there probably could have been 10, couldn't there? Chances galore at both ends. But Atalanta, who lost their opening 3 group stage games, are incredibly close to a spot in the last 8. What a story, and what a night for them.
Yeah, I mean, to continue on with your theme of stairs and staircases, they've elevated themselves into a really good position.
You've had a while to think about that.
I had a couple of minutes while the commentary was going on. They had 5 shots on target, would you believe, and scored 4 of them. But they had a lot more opportunities than that in that first hour. And they were just so quick in attack, they had so much invention, so much power going forward. They frightened the Valencia defence. And they could have easily had 6 goals on the night. Valencia themselves had a lot of the ball. In fact, they had marginally more possession. And they had 4 shots on target themselves, but only able to convert 1 of them. And they did have a good final quarter to the game, but that 1 goal from Cheryshev may not be enough. If they'd have got a second, when he had another opportunity a few minutes later, had that gone in, it could have been a little bit different going back to Spain. But I think it's on the basis of that performance, I think it's too much to ask of Valencia. And you pointed out the statistic, is it, you say 3 or 4 clubs have turned around a deficit of that margin in the knockout stages.
4, of which 3 have been in the last 3 years, but I mean, you're talking about what would be one of the greatest comebacks in the history of the competition if Valencia can do it at the Mestalla.
Yeah, and on the basis of this, I don't see that happening. If Atalanta are quite capable of scoring at least 1 away goal, and 1 goal would just do it for them, they'd be through to the quarterfinals. And I think, assuming that they were to get there, given that they would have been one of the teams that everybody would have been quite happy to play against in the round of 16, these will be one of the teams they won't want to come up against in the quarterfinals on this performance.
Mike, the thing that struck me about this Atalanta performance is they were completely insatiable, weren't they? I mean, as you say, they could have had so many more. When you had the scenes at the full-time whistle, as Chris was saying, it was possibly one of the greatest nights in the club's history. They didn't exactly look overjoyed. You had Pierluigi Gollini, the goalkeeper,
yes,
arguing with some of the coaching staff, and they looked as if, how did we not win that by more? And how did we let them get back even a foothold back into the tie in the last 25 minutes?
Yeah, well, Gollini's a goalkeeper, and someone ruined his clean sheet, so he won't be happy. Maybe they felt they should have come away with the margin where there was no doubt at all that they were going to make it through. They've obviously got very high standards. But the scenes from the fans at the end there, I mentioned that there was a corner taken in the last few seconds, and you could see behind the corner taker, it was just blue and black going all the way up the stand, and scarves out, banners out, and the noise was incessant throughout. Remember, 40,000 of them travelled from Bergamo, and they're on the way home now. And I bet a lot of them will be trying to get across to Spain to see if they can make it through to the last 8.
I bet they will. We've got a tweet in from Drew in Chicago using the hashtag MatchdayLive. It says, are Atalanta the 2020 knockout version of Ajax, who, of course, thrilled en route to the semi-final? Is that a fair comparison?
It's not far off the mark. Obviously, a different type of team, but certainly that they're the ones that are surprising people in many ways and showing that, and me and Andy talked about the entertainment factor and the fact that neutrals, who are not necessarily rivals of Atalanta, will be wanting them to do really well. And if they carry on playing like this, everybody will be quite happy to see them go as far as they possibly can.
They certainly will. So Atalanta 4-1 up against Valencia heading into the second leg of that tie, and Leipzig 1-0 up against Tottenham going to Germany. That's all we have time for here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Remember, next week we'll be back on Tuesday, the 25th of February. Chelsea take on Bayern and Barcelona go to Napoli. Then on Wednesday next week, it's Real Madrid against Manchester City and Lyon against Juventus. Two more huge ties. But what a first week of the last 16 it has been. And a great night on Wednesday for the debutants. For myself, Chris Parrott, a very good night.
Timo Werner from the spot and Leipzig lead. It's a perfect penalty low into the corner. Werner scores. It's the first major moment of this round of 16 tie. And it's the new boys at this stage who celebrate.
Now Atalanta on the breakaway here down the right. Hattabor is in. It's 4-0. They are storming towards the quarterfinals of the UEFA Champions League. It is a night to remember. Historic from Atalanta.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.